after moving to Portsmouth this summer, friends elsewhere in the state started asking me, how's the seacoast? Sort of drooling a little out of envy, I suppose. But what could they be jealous of?
In Market Square and here along Pleasant Street, you've got very wide sidewalks.
Sitting on a bench in Market Square, Portsmouth planning director Rick Tainter points out things he says makes people want to be here.
Lots of places for people to gather and sit down on benches as we are now. You've got the tree shading that kind of buffers you from the streets. And then beyond that, you've got these great historic buildings.
Those are the kinds of things Americans look for when they decide to put their roots down in a place. That's what Mark Lapping says. He teaches planning at the University of Southern Maine.
I think a lot of people are feeling that there's no there in post-World War II America. And I think people are hungry for a there.
But Seacoast history writer J. Dennis Robinson says Portsmouth only became a there in the last 10 years.
You know, we were one of the top ports. That all died out after the 1800s, and the economy started to crash, and we've been in like a 200-year free fall.
Without a river to power any mills, Portsmouth had to sit the Industrial Revolution out. Robinson says reviving the city started slowly in the 1960s.
It really only has been catching fire within the last 10 years.
Today, towns and cities across New Hampshire look longingly at Portsmouth's renaissance, wishing their town had those commercial assets and that broad tax base. But here in Portsmouth, some people are frantically trying to put on the brakes.
This is not what smart cities do.
Claire Kittredge writes for Portsmouth Now, an organization trying to curb development downtown.
It's losing its individuality really fast. It's special personality.
Kittredge's organization pushed for the building height ordinance and has compiled a list of other suggestions. But it's a delicate balance. It was years of carefully planned development that attracted the retailers and restaurants that make downtown thrive. Now, planning director Rick Tainter says Portsmouth is so prosperous, even larger scale developers have their sights set here.
And so we start seeing some of these new developments that really are completely out of scale with the character that people treasure about downtown Portsmouth.
But what is it exactly that makes people choose one place over another? Is it quaintness, amenities? Is it jobs? I did an informal poll earlier this month with a bunch of planning experts at the Northern New England Planning Conference.
It's opportunities for social interaction.
The beauty of the environment.
You got to have character.
A vision and a plan for the future.
Someone being able to live their entire life cycle in that community.
Whatever that special sauce really is, it's not like you can put it in a vial and administer it town by town. So how does a place like, say, Concord or Franklin decide what to encourage? And how does Portsmouth know what to restrict? That's what Susan Silberberg has spent her career trying to understand. The MIT lecturer and urban design consultant says defining the there is not as squishy as it sounds.
It really is a kind of a broader look at what I call placemaking.
3 years ago, Gallup and the Knight Foundation did a study concluding that three universal things attract people to place.
It wasn't about education. It wasn't about jobs. They were important, but not the top three.
Silberberg, who will publish her own white paper about placemaking in October, says the results were surprising.
The three main qualities that attach people to place in their communities are social offerings, such as entertainment venues, openness, how welcome a place is, to diversity, to change, to new people, and the area's aesthetics. It's about green spaces, it's about beauty and architecture. It's really pretty striking, those three things.
Social offerings, openness to diversity, and green spaces. Three things, Silberberg says, every place has the ability to provide. And perhaps three things Portsmouth will consider as it goes about its next challenge, trying to tailor zoning regulations neighborhood by neighborhood. For NHPR News, I'm Emily Corwin.